This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
A recent paper taking a deeper dive into the connection between price movements on stocks and future earnings growth as well as future returns. The study looked at all U.S. common stocks listed between 1963 and 2020 on the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, and the NASDAQ. It also compares portfolios to individual firms. One of the authors of that paper joins us right now, Sean Myers, who's an assistant professor of finance here at the Wharton School. Sean, welcome. Great to have you with us today. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you. And I guess let's start with the backstory on the importance of doing this type of research, especially right now.
Yeah, so this is essentially addressing a broad question in finance, which is why do stocks trade at such different multiples or valuation ratios? We see some firms trade at, say, 10 times earnings, whereas other firms trade at 70, sometimes over 100 times earnings. Now, that applies both now and historically, but it's certainly relevant now when we see companies like Tesla, who previously had a very high price earnings ratio, but has fallen pretty substantially. And then we have newer companies like, say, Nvidia, with a $2 trillion valuation, that has experienced high earnings growth, but there's still a question of how much would they need to earn going forward in order to repay that $2 trillion valuation. So we see a lot of large companies that play a big role in the overall stock market, where there is a question of how they can repay that high valuation back to investors.
Right. And part of this is also understanding the difference between the importance of future returns versus future earnings growth, correct?
Yes, exactly. So the price earnings ratio is often one of the most commonly cited metrics used when people try to value a company, which makes sense. You're looking at what is the price you're paying right now versus the profits that the company is consistently generating. And it could represent two possible things. One is that a high price relative to earnings could indicate that the earnings are expected to grow rapidly in the future. In fact, this is why we usually call high PE stocks growth stocks. We expect companies like Tesla and Nvidia to grow their earnings rapidly in the future and essentially for the earnings to catch up with their high prices. The alternative is if the price is quite high relative to earnings, it could indicate that this stock is overvalued and that instead of the earnings catching up with the price, it's really the price that's going to drop and catch up with the earnings. And so surprisingly, what we find is if you look historically at these high price earnings ratio stocks, it's primarily prices dropping to align with earnings rather than earnings increasing to align with the price. So it really seems to be that price earnings ratios are predicting future returns, in fact, predicting them negatively, rather than high price earnings ratios predicting large positive earnings growth.
And so I mentioned a little bit ago that this is a study that looked at, stocks over, a 7 to 8 decade period here. Are you able to develop patterns in terms of how those numbers kind of matriculated over the course of that period of time?
Yeah. So I should certainly caveat here and say that all of the results we're looking at, long-term buy and hold returns. So there can certainly be big movements in, say, one-year returns or two-year returns. This is really looking at if you were to buy the stock and hold it for 10 to 15 years, how does the current price-earnings ratio predict future returns? Largely because there can be momentum, there can be run-ups in prices, but after a decade or so, it's really the fundamental growth that drives most of the long-term return. And so we can do this over different decades, essentially comparing, say, the 70s versus the 90s, et cetera. We do find fluctuations over the decades, but what's surprising is we still don't find any individual period where the earnings growth on high PE stocks was large enough to justify their high valuations. In right. some periods, it's higher. In some periods, it's lower. But the most we actually find is it can account for about 50% of the valuation. So while it does fluctuate over time, there does seem to be a consistent fact, which is that in general, high price earnings ratio stocks just don't seem to generate enough in future earnings growth to justify their high valuations. Sometimes they fall more short than other times, but it seems to be consistent that they never really generate enough to justify their high initial price.
But it becomes an important part of the discussion when you think about how there has been so much talk about valuations, especially in the last several years, and whether or not those prices are overvalued in many cases.
Exactly. Particularly with the recent increase in interest rates over the last few years, there was a big push for companies to start focusing more on their profitability and their bottom line. And while there's certainly been improvements on that dimension, what we also saw is that a lot of companies realized that this was more difficult than perhaps they had anticipated. The focus mm-hmm. on just growth in market share at all costs turned out to be more difficult than anticipated to convert into, say, high profit margins or high overall earnings growth. And we have seen valuations for some large companies correct fairly substantially as investors have right. started to realize that it will be more difficult to anticipate for this company to actually return their initial investment.
What do you think ends up being the impact of doing this type of research for both individual investors and also for firms?
So part of it is, it may not be the best answer, is part of it raises just a large puzzle, which is just that there was a conventional wisdom that when you see one company trading at 10 times earnings and another trading at 70 times earnings, that this was not unreasonable because the company trading at 70 times earnings will just experience very high earnings growth going forward. And essentially right. the price is just temporarily high compared to earnings. The earnings will catch up. This is somewhat raising a puzzle which says, while that's true for some companies, that's certainly not the norm. And in fact, the norm is that the earnings will never really catch up with that high valuation. Which raises the question of why are investors paying so much for this stock?
Sure.
Do they not realize that its past comparables or its peers have never lived up to these high projected earnings that people seem to be anticipating? So what it's essentially pushing is that, at least for long-term buy and hold investors, they should seriously critique some of these valuations. In terms of just modeling the future discounted cash flows and really trying to estimate what kind of earnings growth would be necessary to return their investment. There's often a lot of emphasis on price growth and, say, recent price fluctuations. But if you're going to hold a stock for, say, 10 to 15 years, what you should really be focused on is how much profit does the company generate, and will it generate enough to return this initial investment? And even those simple exercises can often generate some surprising results where you really realize that this company would need to, let's say, 50 or 100 times its earnings over the next decade in order to repay its initial investment. Or you realize that it would essentially need to monopolize an entire market and dramatically expand that market in order to earn enough in profits to repay its current valuation,
right.
which is not to say it's impossible, but you should know that this company would really need to be an outlier in order to
yeah.
actually return money back to investors.
Sean, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time. Great work on the research. I appreciate you joining us here today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Sean Myers, who's assistant professor of finance here at the Wharton School. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.